Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly's back today, and she's got some really good things, so don't miss any of it. I'm looking forward to hearing you, Kelly.
Mom, you said so many great things last week. If you didn't hear that, go back to kcm.org and rewatch those broadcasts or go to our podcast.
Well, because
you are so full of the fruit of the Spirit, and it really has come from your relationship with the
Praise
Lord.
God.
And I don't know, just even as I was praying last night to prepare for taping today, the Lord made me think about the ways that we take the fruit of the Spirit. You can take the fruit of the Spirit as a list and make it a work of the flesh.
Well, yeah.
It's better to work in your flesh to walk in love than not.
That's better
than nothing. But we don't need to go back to the work of the flesh to have all those things, love, joy, peace.
Right.
They are an outgo from our spirit. And
it's more of a yielding in
it is.
The spirit, yeah.
It's a yielding to your time with Jesus too, though. If you really want it to be easy, developing your relationship with Him.
Amen.
As a oneness with Him, understanding who He is in you, who He wants to be to you, and becoming more intimate with Jesus.
Yes.
Will make those come out as a fruit. I was thinking, you know, recently I had this occasion for the Lord to correct me about something. And it was not just about one thing. It was about several things that I needed to apologize to several people for different things over the last, 10 years. Seriously, Lord, do you know what they did to me? And he said, he's talking to me. He said, you need to apologize to so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I was like, do you know what that person did to me? And he said, well, that only matters if you have a scale.
Well, that's a thought.
Because that might be the truth if you had a scale. But he said, I'm asking you to get rid of the scale and just look at what I'm telling you need to do.
That's good.
Like that, if you get rid of the scale, all you have left is this plate that Jesus can put something on and talk, say, we need to talk about this. Well, I did that, and it stunned me, Mom, how much it changed me.
Praise God.
But it stunned me how much it changed those individuals' reaction to me. Like some things that were a struggle, just went away.
You let the love of God loose.
And so I wasn't looking to even know that that would help me. I didn't think I needed to do that. But in my relationship with Jesus, it was like He sat at my table and talked to me about something I needed to do differently. Well, the result was the fruit of the Spirit. That's where, fruit is not fruit until it's out here. This is only fruit now because it came out of the tree, it went to the store, we bought it, and we put it on the table. And later we're going to eat it.
It grew up and it became fruit.
It grew up. And then
it went to the store.
Yeah. And so it's fruit because it's here and it can be enjoyed. My stuff on the inside of me is not fruit until it's out here.
That's good, Kelly. That's true.
And it's not fruit to you until it's out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fruit to me until it changes something that happens out here.
Just think of this. This is just an extra throw in here today. But think of the stress that your body goes through when you're upset and you're mad and you're not walking in the love of God. You didn't forgive. You just held that. That's what makes people sick.
It's killing people.
It's killing people. Or you can just say, I forgive that. Lord, I pray for them. Bless them and help them. If they really missed it bad, they need help. If they really missed it just a little bit, they need help. And we need to forgive. That way, we're free.
You let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Let it go.
And the Lord can manage someone else.
That's right.
That is not my job.
That's right.
And boy,
thank
to be free
Lord.
Of somebody else, that's the real life. That's real freedom, is to be free of what someone else does, someone else says, someone else. And even if they're like you work with them or they're, you know, you're in your family, your kids, your parent, your whatever, people have difficulties with each other. That is a design of Satan, and he plays it well.
Right.
And we've been pretty cooperative with the satanic plan of bringing frustration
and awareness of what's going on.
And a lack of awareness of who's in us.
That's right.
And how to walk in His love.
That's the best thing to do when somebody does you wrong is to just say, I forgive that. I take no account of that. So what happened? Nothing happened to you. And they're not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
You forgave them. You did the right thing. You didn't give the devil any foothold. Love is not touchy. The Bible says, this is amplified, touchy, fretful, or resentful, pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Now, we have the power to forgive. And we don't have to hold things. We don't have to let that mess us up with our health or our spiritual life or anything. We have the power to say, I forgive that. I don't hold that against them. Lord, I pray that you help them in Jesus' name. Now, what happened? Well, you set yourself up to be healthy and blessed and increase, and you didn't take any account of the evil done to you, which is a scriptural thing. So what happened? You went free. Glory to God. So if there are things in your past that haunt you and they just hang over you and you just think about that person and you want to chop his head off, forget his or her and just say, Lord, I bless those. I bless him. I bless her. And I turn them over to you to help them. And you go free. Free is good. Free is great. The blessing is working. Amen.
So let me dissect this for us.
Go ahead.
Let me dissect it for people that are listening.
Okay.
Because I think sometimes people hear that and they think, oh, that's Gloria Copeland. I will never be able to do that. Or maybe Gloria Copeland's family is so awesome and she's surrounded by people that are just good to her and she doesn't have the kind of problems I do. It's not about Gloria Copeland.
No, no.
And my mother, while she is a paragon of virtue in my eyes, she's not done this out of her own virtuous things about herself. So if you hear that and you think, oh, I can't do that, no, that you're missing the point. That's why,
right,
I want to dissect this for you, because my mom does do this. My mom has had more than ample opportunity to be angry, frustrated, to be hurt by people and need to forgive. You know, you may not even have people writing stuff in the media or the newspapers having entire blogs about you and how horrible you are and what a sinner you are, you know? But they have opportunity that they forgive, but it hasn't been out of her own ability. This has come out of a developed relationship with Jesus, time with Him, prayer, being
Praise
in the
God.
Word, hearing what His Word says about forgiveness, and digging into that power that's in her to do that. You know, we have a deep well. We have a living water, a deep well on the inside of us. And when you develop your relationship with Him and spending time with Him, we're spending time in His Word, where eventually you're looking in the Word and you see yourself reflected back. It's like dipping into a well and coming up with that.
Yes,
instead of, you've got a dry cup, instead of trying to live your life out of that dry, I have no ability to produce water. You don't need to produce water. You've got a well. Dip that cup in there and dig out of it. This is where we find these things. And I just think sometimes it's easy for people to think, oh, that's Gloria. Well, it is Gloria, but it is not Gloria. It's Jesus in Gloria. Jesus, the relationship that Gloria has developed with Him, coming out.
When you understand what it does to you, to be in strife and to hold things against people, even against yourself, you'll understand how important it is that we forgive and that we don't hold aught against anybody. What happens when somebody does you wrong and you forgive them? You let it go. Lord, help them. I forgive them for that in Jesus' name. What happened? You're free. You don't have anything hanging over you now. You're not in strife. You've forgiven. The Bible says where there's, I quote this a lot, but it's a very important scripture, where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. So if we want to have strife in every evil work in our lives, we can just not walk in love, walk in confusion and strife and trouble and not forgive and hold things against anybody. I believe, you know, I've studied this for a long, long time, and I believe, and healing also. I believe that a lot of people are sick because they hold things. Maybe something somebody did to you in your childhood. Now you're 60, 70 years old, and you're still upset about it. You're not doing your health any good. You're not doing your body any good, your finances any good, your walk with Jesus any good. But church, here's the deal. We have the power. Jesus has given us the power to forgive any kind of transgression against ourselves. We can always just say, well, I forgive that, Lord. And the Bible just says for us to pray for those who use and persecute us. Pray for them. What happened to you? Nothing. You went free. The blessing's still intact. It's a good deal. So don't be sucked off into that and get crosswise and get in strife. Where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. Remember that, and you'll stay out of strife.
Amen. Amen. And that's a word for people. That's a word for somebody. And
Absolutely. You, Mom, you've
repeated, you go free. You go free. Because that is the point.
That's right. The
point of what Jesus came to do is to set you and I free of all those things. And
there's
all this striving with people, where there's all this striving in your life, there is confusion and there is every evil work. And you're right, stress and unforgiveness and all that leads to sickness and disease. Dr. Colbert has taught us that that your body, even your organs will hold on to anxiety and unforgiveness and hatred. They'll hang on to that stress. And even if you think you repent, you know, you might even say, hey, I forgive you, da da da, but it can still hold on to it and you're unaware of it. But when you start developing this Jesus on the inside, it flushes, and His Word flushes those things, and He'll point out to you, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to say this, you need to go back here, you need to go way back to your three-year-old self. Let the Lord diagnose you. It's what He wants us to be free.
Amen.
And you do go free. You do go free. You do go free.
I want
you to extrapolate that. I'm sorry for pointing, but I want you to extrapolate that into your life. You know, when we say go free, don't just let those words go through your head. I want you to stop a moment and look at your life say, okay, I'm not free in this area. I'm not free in this area. I'm not free in this area. You know, Jesus, when he had communion with the disciples before He went to the cross, He had that moment with them. And when the Word talks about serving communion, it talks about to remember.
Judge yourself and you'll
judge your
judged.
Life. Yeah. And that doesn't just mean, I kicked the cat yesterday, so I repent that for that. Now I can take communion. It means judge your life. Is my life matching up to what Jesus bought and paid for? Is my life matching up to what this blood bought and paid for me?
Praise
Jesus
God.
Paid a heavy, heavy price for us. And He did it because He loves us.
That's right.
And you look at your life and you're sick or you're in debt or you're hurting and you have your kids are hate you or your parents hate you, your brother hates you, your sister hates you, your business is going wrong, you're in turmoil, you're angry, you're stressed. I'm telling you, if you're having to drink every afternoon to manage the day, there's something wrong. It's not a shame from coming from here on you, but it's the shame of what's going on that's driving you to that when you have Jesus inside you.
Praise God.
And He wants you to be free from all that. So we look at our life and we examine and we say, am I free? Where am I free here? Am I free here? Am I free here? Let the Lord point things out to you and you'll begin to get free. I'm telling you, some days, Mom, I turn around and I think, oh, I'm so free. And then, of course, you have opportunities from the enemy to be upset or to be anxious or, you know, respond to the things that are around you. And the Lord, man, He'll go, Kelly, And, you know, it's so much easier to do what He tells me to do in response to His words here than even just reading it here. I mean, it's great if you see Him say something, you do it, but it's so much easier to do it when He talks to you personally.
And
you can believe
He's talking to you when you see it in the Word of God.
Well, that's the truth. And the more you see it in the Word of God, the more it'll be prompted up on the inside. So I have a lot of scriptures I want to read just talking about who He is on the inside. But I'm glad we talked about that because I really want you to let the Lord shake you up a little bit. Not in a bad way, but the Bible talks in Hebrews about it. The message says in Hebrews 12, a thorough housekeeping. A thorough house cleaning, top to bottom, stem to stern.
Judge yourself.
Get rid of all the religious and traditional junk. Yeah. Get rid of everything that's kind of piled on. Jesus is shaking. It's like if I took, have you ever cleaned your purse out or your, guys don't do this, so I don't know. They don't seem to do
their
this.
Pockets,
but women pile stuff in their purse, and day after day, their business gets put in their purse and junk and somebody's trash, you know, or whatever. And it's time to clean it out. You turn it upside down and you shake it out. And then what goes back in the purse is only the essentials. And that's what God is doing to His people. It's like He's shaking free all of the junk that we are, that is dragging us down, the weights that easily beset us. And that stuff is coming loose and He's helping us get these things out of our life. So take this time, take this seriously because He wants you really, really, really to be free. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you'll think in a month, you'll think, man, I'm so free. And then in 6 months, you'll think, man, I just thought I was free. I'm so free. I'm so free. I'm so free. And this is the life you can have in Him when you
come into
oneness.
A couple of minutes, and I'd like to say this when you get through.
Go.
This is what I just got. Let the love of God loose. Strife messes you up. It is a killer, a thief. It brings sickness, lack, and turmoil. But love makes free. Judge yourself, and you'll not be judged, is what the Scripture says. So if you keep rocking along, not walking in love, holding strife and unforgiveness in your heart because somebody did something to you one time, you won't be free. But if you let it go and pray for those people, let it go. You don't have to do anything else, but just let it go and not hold that anymore. And you'll free yourself in different situations. It just works. That's just what we're supposed to do. We walk in love. That's our law. That's our rule. That's what God says we are responsible to do. And we forgive if we have aught against any. Amen.
Flow, glow.
Flow, glow.
That
flow,
is
Kelly.
A word from the Lord.
Praise God.
He is speaking to us. That's freedom.
Yeah. You know, I only have about 60 seconds, but Ken and I, and mostly Ken because he's the dominant person in this couple, he got a lot of persecution. People said a lot of bad things about him that weren't true, but people said it. But you know, he never let it get into him. He'd just forgive. If he had aught against any, I'd forgive. If I had aught against any. And we've always been free, and we've always been blessed. And we're going to always be that way because we're going to walk in love. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
That's
you got
word.
30 seconds, Kelly.
That's what I'm talking about. Well, I want you to join us and really take this seriously because
the Lord
it's is bringing
important.
You freedom. He's bringing you fresh words. I mean, she literally just sat there, and the Lord gave her that for you.
Praise
so
God.
Take it.
We take
and
it.
And examine your life before the Lord. You don't have to judge yourself all by yourself. He's the righteous but loving judge. And He's helping you to find those things.
Praise
and that's,
God.
That's, He's all about your freedom. That's what He came for.
That's right. Kelly's back with me today, and she's got some really powerful stuff for us. So get your Bible, turn your listener on, and we're off right now. Go, Kelly.
Amen. Well, yesterday, you know, I had in mind to read some scriptures to you about Jesus being on the inside of us, and, you know, it just went into such a prophetic flow. Mother had a word from the Lord for you, and just, so we didn't get to our scriptures, but we did have a flow from the Holy Spirit that was
Praise
on the inside
God.
Of us. So it was really good. And really, He was saying He is calling you
yeah.
to lay hold of these things that we're bringing out, because you know what we're bringing out to you is just a new life in Him, a new life in oneness with Him. I'm going to just, today, I'd like to just read some scriptures about our oneness with Him. I guess the simplest way to put what we're talking about last week and this week is our oneness with Him equals fruit of the Spirit. Oneness leads to those fruit harvesting,
Amen.
Those things that are inside you. I talked last week about a fruit tree that I had that never bore fruit. So really, there's too many Christians that aren't bearing out here the fruit of the things that are in us. And sometimes fruit takes a long time to cultivate. But when you develop your relationship with the Lord, you're not cultivating fruit. You're cultivating this relationship and time with Him. It equals fruit. So mm-hmm. it's just so much easier than trying to struggle to do something in the flesh. Even something the Word says for you to do, you don't have to struggle to do that in the flesh, to forgive, to have peace, to have joy, to have self-control, to have endurance. If you develop your life with Jesus, you will have those things come out. That is a result of life with Him. And I've seen so many things in the Word where even with the disciples, with Mary and Martha, with Peter, there's even an example of Paul was writing a letter in the church, and these two women, it's hard to pronounce their name, they weren't getting along. And what did he talk about? The life that's in them, the fruit of he didn't use the words fruit of the Spirit. But we need to begin to recognize the things in the Word of God where it talks about joy. Yeah, it's not talking about the listed set of what we call the fruit of the Spirit, but that's a fruit of the Spirit. You know, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Endurance is a fruit
right.
of the Spirit. It's a fruit of... Sometimes, Mom, I don't like that phrase, fruit of the Spirit, because of how it's been used on a coffee cup or a picture that you bought at the Christian bookstore. Fruit of the Spirit sounds great. It's like this little marketing package. It's the result. I'd rather say it clearly. It's the result of your union with Jesus.
Oh, absolutely.
You could say fruit of the Spirit. That is the result of your union with Jesus. It's the result of your union with Jesus coming out and being obvious and being evident. Yeah. You know, the Word said we should be known that we're Christian by the love walk.
Amen.
That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the evidence of our union. So that's what we're doing this week. And I'm really, it's these things, my union with Jesus, my new union. You know, after 53 years of serving the Lord and loving Him, I mean, everything that got me to this couple of years ago where my life changed, everything that got me there was real. My life with Jesus was real. My love for Jesus was
Praise
real.
God.
But He took me to a deeper place to where it makes me think, man, I didn't even know what I had on the inside of me when you go to this deeper place with Him. So
Kelly,
He's calling us all to go to that place.
Would it mess you up if I said something about my past?
Mother, you couldn't mess me up
my
if you
past.
Tried to.
Oh, when I was a girl, I was raised in Arkansas, and I've shared this sometime, but I don't know if it's been recent or not. I was raised in Arkansas where they were raised peaches. My granddad had peach harvest. In fact, my first job was in the peach harvest. I didn't pick, but I had a little job. I answered the phone and I did this and I did that. Well, anyway, The peaches up there were just marvelous. You just, unless you've been to Arkansas and had an Arkansas peach, you hadn't had a peach. But you know what would happen? Those peaches could be so beautiful and so perfect and no disease, no mildew, no anything on them. But if they weren't picked, they would fall to the ground and then they'd rot. Now that's the way it is with the fruit of the Spirit in us. The love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the fruits in us when we're born again. But if it's not picked, it'll go unused. It'll go unborn. And I just think that's a great example of what we have a choice to do. We can either yield to the love of God, and the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, or we can let it fall to the ground. And when it falls to the ground, it just rots and it doesn't do us any good and it doesn't do the people around us any good. So the fruit of the Spirit is really a big thing. Think about it. When you think about what it is, love, joy, peace. Think how wonderful peace is. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control or temperance. That's all in you if you're born again. Now, you can pick it or you can let it fall to the ground. But if you'll pick it, everything in your life will improve. Glory to God. And I don't know, I thought about that yesterday and today, and I thought it was just a neat illustration of what that fruit will do in your life. Love, joy, peace. You can't just get that anywhere. But you can get it in God, and you can get it in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Imagine the farmer, Mom. I'm glad you said that, because imagine the farmer that does all the work of planting a peach orchard. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason that might happen, no one harvested. No one picked the fruit. What a devastation to the farmer who planted that orchard, mm-hmm. worked hard, sweat, gave his time, his life to plant that orchard, and no one, he couldn't pick it and no one did.
You know what?
That's a sad thing.
What it's called in peaches when they hang on the tree, they get ripe and they hang on the tree. Well, they fall to the ground and they become an overripe. And they're not good,
no good
to eat. I mean, they're just, you just pass the season. Now, we don't want
fat and mushy.
That's right. Brown rot and all different bacteria and mildew and all of those things that happen to peaches. Now, I'm telling you, that's just a description of what will happen to you and me if we don't walk in love. Our life will not be what it should be, because that's our commandment.
And
we have to love if we want to be blessed.
And when you say our life what it should be, Mom, who decided what our life should be? God the Father, Jesus the Son. Think about the price, the very price that He took on to be able to plant Himself in you.
Yeah.
That was a heavy price. And He has not seen a real harvest yet. A harvest like He should. A harvest that even leads to what He said in the Word, that you doing greater things than He did.
Now, what is the name of that harvest? It's not a peach harvest. What is it? It's the blessing.
Yeah.
You do the Word of God, and the blessing that's already been spoken, already been said, already been settled in heaven, you do these things and you'll be blessed. All we have to do is just do these things and the blessing manifests. Glory.
And the life of God, the harvesting, the life of God inside of you, the harvesting is getting them out here, picking them, like you said.
That's right.
So that's real good. So what we're going to do today is we're going to recognize what God Himself, what Jesus planted in us, so we can begin to harvest.
Amen.
So we can begin to cultivate that
with
Him.
In the new creation, it's in there.
Absolutely.
If I'm born again, and I am, hallelujah.
And we are not going to waste it any longer.
Oh, no.
So, Mom, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. You have yours right there. And it's funny. I realized the other day that some of these have revised copies. So if it's not exactly like yours, it's similar. But these have really blessed me. And I think the Lord just wanted us to shake up our thinking and hear some things with some different words.
What page are you starting on?
This is, let's see, I am going to start with Galatians. And honestly, I've got some places earmarked here, and I'm just going to read who's in us. So we're going to do this, and then we'll see what the Lord says to do next. I'm going to start Galatians 2, Mom, that's page 19. If you don't have these, just really tune your ear and listen. He says in verse 20, Galatians 2:20, my old identity has been crucified with Christ and no longer lives, for the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life, the outgo, the spirit, the life of this new life, it's
harvest.
No longer mine. Yeah. But Christ lives his life through me. We live in union as one.
Praise God.
My new life is empowered. Mom, I saw this so clearly the other day. My new life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God.
Praise God.
His faith is engaged in you walking in this thing. The life of the faith of the farmer is engaged when he plants that tree.
That's right.
So my life is empowered by his faith of the Son of God, and his faith is also in us. So his faith operating, his faith in me operating, it's empowered. But look at this, Mom. My life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine.
Yes.
Man, amen. That's a powerful statement. He dispenses his life into mine.
You know, those peaches in Arkansas, they just didn't miraculously happen.
No.
My granddaddy named Pop, he planted those trees, and he knew what to do to take care of them, and he always got a great harvest. Now, we know what to do to get a great harvest. It's in the Word. And we can do that, and we'll always get a crop. Not peaches, but whatever we sow. Money, love, whatever it is, we get a crop. Isn't that good?
That is good.
And it's just available.
Yeah. He's in there. He's available. And now I'm going to read to you. That's good, Mom.
Where are
I'm going to read to you from page, it's actually page 77, but it doesn't have that on the thing. It's Philippians 3:1. And I'm going to read several things here, but I'm just going to skip around. My beloved ones, don't ever limit your joy or fail to rejoice in the wonderful experience of knowing our Lord Jesus.
Mm, thank you.
That's
Jesus.
Fruit.
Thank
experience
you.
Equals fruit.
Yes,
it's the
amen.
Same thing. It says, we serve God. This is part of verse 3. We serve God in the power and freedom of the Holy Spirit, not in laws and religious duties. We are those who boast in what Jesus Christ has done, not in what we can do in our own strength. Last week we talked about the Mary and Martha comparison. She was struggling, but she was doing it in her own strength. It wasn't about what she was doing. It wasn't about the serving. It was about her heart being distressed and anxious and caring and mad and angry.
Which is
the work of the flesh.
To unbelief.
Yes. It's a work of the flesh.
Yep.
She was exhibiting a work of the flesh, and Jesus said, Mary's chosen that thing that's to her advantage. So that's, we're
he
not
said,
focused
Martha,
in.
Martha, you're troubled about many things.
Girl, girl, girl.
Don't say that now, Kelly. Don't let them say that to you and me. We're not going to be troubled.
No.
We're going to believe God and roll our care over on the Lord.
And I promise you, if you're troubled, you are, this is boasting, but you are troubled by what you can or cannot accomplish in your own strength.
It's unbelievable.
But it's not about that for us. It's about what Jesus has done. And he goes on to say he relied once on what all the things that he had done himself. But verse 9 says, my righteousness, Mom, this is page 78.
Thank
my
you.
Righteousness will be his based on the faith of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness of God. By his faith, I will fully experience oneness with Jesus. This is really what we're talking about here these weeks. And the explosive power of his resurrection working in me.
Praise God.
What is the, and I want to start saying it like this, the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
The get it out there.
Mm-hmm. The produce.
The results, the produce, the production of your Spirit is the explosive power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings, and I will be one with him in his death. You know what? I was one with him in his death. We just read, my junk, my life, my former self was nailed to the cross when he was. I will be, it says, only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from death. He's already done the defeating of death. He did the defeating of death when he went to hell. He defeated the death where I was concerned. So for me to struggle with that, for me to focus on that, for me to worry about that, for me to have any of the work of the flesh going on in my life that's listed in Galatians chapter five, that's going backwards. But in my union with him, those are not the things that come out. In my union and communion and oneness with Jesus, the life comes out.
Praise
God. It says, Paul says, I admit I haven't acquired the absolute fullness, but I run with passion into his abundance. See, that's what we're talking about here. Of course we haven't acquired everything, but we're running with passion into the things that he has done for us. And that this says, he's called me to fulfill the destiny and wants me to discover. It says in verse 16, oh, I love this. Verse 15, so let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not gripped by these desires, you're not lost. It says God will reveal it to them. All you have to be is be open to who he is on the inside. Open up your life to who he is on the inside. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. I love this. I know I read a lot of this last week, but I just want to back-to-back read these things to get them across to us so we can move on into some results here. Verse 20, Mom, what page are you on? I'm in this right here.
Oh.
On page 79, Philippians 3:20. Our passions, Mom, that word means business or labors. Isn't that interesting? Our passions, our business, our labor is focused or set on the heavenly realm as we cling tightly to our life giver, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we set our attention.
The Word of God and prayer.
Yes. The transformation of his body took place at his resurrection, so our bodies would share in the same power. So our bodies will share in what happened in his body. It says, transfiguring or changing us into the identical likeness of his glorified body. Well,
isn't
that's talking
that
about our outer body.
That is a powerful translation of that, isn't it?
Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
And what? Let's really break this down for a second.
Okay, do it.
He says, the transformation of his body took place at the resurrection, so our bodies would share in that power. That leads to, I'm going to add some words here, changing us into the identical likeness of his glorified body. Okay, so that's our outer physical body. Now he's gonna really saying the same thing about our insides. He just used different words. And by his matchless power, he continually subdues all that is within us to himself.
That
really what
great.
He's saying
like
is he's transforming your inside in the same way as he transforms your outside into his exact image. He is continually, not just you by yourself, God is continually subduing the stuff on the inside of you to be the exact image of himself.
We're growing up into him.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Growing up into him.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the inside of us. And he's constantly, I mean, you may not even be aware of it. If you're not focused inside on him, you may not even be, you may not be at that point where you're aware that he's working with you. But if you'll turn your attention to it, you'll become aware.
Give him something to work with.
Give him your heart to work with. Give him your mind. Give him your time. Give him your attention, your prayer. your worship. If you don't know, you think, I don't have time or that's too hard, let me just ask you one thing. Begin to worship Him.
Yeah.
Just begin to consciously worship Him in that time, and He'll lead you into these other things.
Amen.
Because that's what He's doing.
That's awesome.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fruit.
I'm going to get a lot of more scriptures read here, and I'm going to do it quick.
Okay. Do that.
I won't read it, but on page 88, He says in Colossians 1, you'll become fruit-bearing branches. We're going to talk about that, I believe, tomorrow. Being fruit-bearing branches. It says, and we pray, this verse 11, that you would be energized with all His explosive power from the realm of His magnificent glory, filling you, look at this, with great hope and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is that? It's fruit. Or like you said, Mom, it's produce.
It's harvest.
He says, it is, it's harvest. He says in Colossians 1, 26, that there's been this divine mystery, a secret surprise that's been concealed from the world for generation. He says, you know what it is? Living in you is the Christ who floods
Praise
you with the expectation
God.
Of glory. This mystery, Christ in us has been it was a mystery. Nobody knew. Satan certainly had no idea that God had this thing planned
in
of
fact,
Christ being in those people.
In fact, the scripture says if Satan had known, he'd have never crucified the Lord of glory.
God snuck up on him.
He did.
The mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with the riches of glory for His people, and God wants everyone to know it. We started the broadcast saying, or we said earlier, that, you know, He paid this great price for us to be able to be filled with Him.
Praise God.
And it's time for us to begin to walk in Christ, Colossians 2 and verse 2 says, Christ unveiled within you.
When we began to do that in our own lives, everything changed for the better.
Satan
everything.
Does not want you. It goes on to Praise talk about God. You progressing further in your faith. Satan doesn't want that for you, but we are ripping off the covering of Christ in you.
Kelly Copeland's back with us today, and she's got such wonderful things for us. We're enjoying our time together here around the Word, and we want to invite you to join us. So, Kelly, we're all ears.
Oh, it's been really fun just talking about what's
going
on. Yes,
I know it's exciting.
Jesus is so big. He's so good. He loves us so much. And, you know, yesterday we were just reading God inside of a scripture. Jesus, union with Him, oneness
Amen.
With Him. And so I want to pick up there, but I want to go back just one verse or so from where we ended up. Mom, I really feel like today I want to talk to start out here about Jesus, what He did for us. You know, you may not know Him. We're talking about all these things about Jesus being inside you, and you may think, well, He's not. I don't know what you're talking about. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, please don't turn this channel.
Oh.
This is your day for a whole life. You know, people flip houses, people get makeovers. We're talking a makeover top to bottom from the inside out.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of your life will be different.
That's
and no
right.
matter, you may think, well, my life is not that bad. Oh, comparatively, life without Jesus and life with Jesus, there's no comparison.
That's good. That's true.
And if you do know Jesus, but, you know, honestly, Mom, we've all been living way under the bar. You know, as far as Jesus is concerned and life with Him, we've all been living under poverty level from what we are headed to. You know, living way under what He bought and paid for us. And the reason He bought and paid for those things is He wants these things in your life. He wants this oneness with you so much so that we're operating in the same oneness with Him that He operates with and with the Father. I think we'll get to some of that today where we really talk about Jesus' oneness with the Father in His own words. But He wants that same oneness with you that He has with His Father.
I think you could say that the Bible describes that in these few words, days of heaven on the earth.
Absolutely.
That's what the Lord has for us, if we'll get in there with Him and do what He says. It takes obedience to walk in the blessing, but oh, it's worth it. And everything you do toward obedience brings a blessing into your life.
Well,
hallelujah.
God made these people originally, Adam and Eve, put them in the garden and had relationship with them, wanted to love them, wanted to pour. I mean,
everything
He poured out everything that they needed.
Provided for them.
Absolutely. And they had life with Him. They walked in the garden. They talked
Praise
to Him.
God.
They had this life with Him.
And they had one do not is all they had.
Yeah. Don't eat that fruit. That's mine.
Let that tree alone.
And you know what? God wasn't even withholding that. He would have ministered those things to them in the way, truth,
sure.
good and evil, all that. But when they ate that, when they disobeyed Him, they had only known good intimately.
That's right. That's
but
right.
now instead of just knowing about evil, they knew evil intimately in their life. And since then, evil has been a part of people's lives. That wasn't God's idea. But when you leave God and you serve
right.
the enemy, you get what the enemy serves up.
That's true.
But
that's right.
that wasn't what God wanted. But He also didn't want to make people in a fashion where they had to do what He said.
They choose. They got to choose.
But they got to choose.
That's right.
I mean, He had the angels. They do what God says. If that's what He wanted, He didn't need to recreate.
Most of them, but the one didn't do what He said, and that was Satan.
That's right.
And he fell.
He fell. So total separation mm-hmm. from God came from the angels. Well, that struck me in a different way this week. I want to read some of this to you.
Good.
We're reading out of the Passion Translation, Colossians 1. Mom, I'm going to start with verse 88. It says, He's writing this letter saying we keep you in our prayers, this verse 9, that you would be filled to overflowing with the revelation of God's pleasure in your lives. God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
He's not mad
oh,
at
does
us.
He
loves us. This will make you reservoirs or containers of all wisdom and spiritual understanding. We pray you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, pleasing God in everything you do. Well, you know, that verse right there is kind of a stopper for a lot of people because they feel like they haven't pleased God or the way I live hasn't pleased God. You're not walking in this alone. That's why we've been here for a week and a half now telling you, you don't have to please God on your own.
You know, those words right there are the key to the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing was always dependent, blessing being manifest, was always dependent on an obedient people. When people were not obedient, through the history of the Scripture, when they weren't obedient, the curse was just waiting on them.
Yeah, that's right.
But when they began to turn and give their hearts to the Lord, the blessing was just waiting on them. And that's what we all desire and work to do and determine to do to receive.
And this life with Him is not about rules and regulations like you may think. If you don't know Him, you may think, or even if you've asked Him into your heart, you may still think it's a life of rules and regulations that you keep to please God. It's not about that.
That's true.
It's when you're in union with His Spirit inside, when He's inside you, He speaks out through your life. He comes out in your life, which is what we've been talking about. Walking with Him is not hard. Walking in His ways, it's not hard. It's easy. The reason it brings the blessing is because the things that He tells you to do are the things that work. The things He tells you to do are the things that bring life. And that life on the inside of you, or if you don't know Him yet, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of this broadcast to know Him and to have that life. But I love this because what He wants for you is expressed in the rest of this verse. It says, then you'll become fruit-bearing branches, yielding to His life and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in His fullness. And we pray that you would be energized with all His explosive
Hallelujah.
Power from the realm of His magnificent glory, filling you with great hope and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, it's not about you doing step one, step two, step three. It's about the life of Him inside of you coming out, that's what happens. When it comes out of you, you know, God's not looking to be displeased with you. Everything that you do that that looks to Him or focuses on Him or turns to Him for help pleases Him. Your faith in Him pleases Him. You may be in the biggest mess of your life, and all you have to do is say, Lord, I turn to You and I put my faith in You. You just please the Father. All that other stuff doesn't matter. He will keep working with you. We read yesterday, subduing everything in you to Himself, cleaning you out, cleansing you to where the real life of God begins to come out in your life. That's His job. You know, but when you turn to Him in faith, do you turn to Him in help for help? That pleases Him. So listen to this, Mom. This was so good. This is on the next page, page 89 on the Passion Translation. And this is Letters from Heaven, which is Colossians 1:21. Even though you were once distant from Him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, He reconnected you back to Himself.
Praise God. That's right.
All that Adam did to mess up, all that Eve did to mess up, all the enemy did to try to keep us out of the family and the presence of God. Jesus, just like that, in one act of giving His life, reconnected
Glory
us back. Opened the door us to have Him back. To be back into His presence. He released His supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of His own body as the sin payment on your behalf. He's
Isn't
already done
good?
All that. He's
well
paid the
said.
Price so that you would dwell in His presence.
Praise
that's
God.
All. That's what God wanted. You being in His presence, that's what pleases God. Mm-hmm. He wants you to
because
be in His presence.
Because that's where you can be blessed.
Yes. And He wants to love on you. That's why He had a family in the first place. And now there is nothing between you and the Father God.
Praise
Isn't
God.
That good?
Mm-hmm.
For He sees you. This is how God sees you when you belong to Him.
When you're born again.
As holy, flawless, and restored. Now, honestly, this might shake up your religious thinking. But even if your life is a mess, God the Father sees you as holy, flawless, and restored.
In Jesus, that's the way we are.
And you know what? It's Jesus' job and the Holy Spirit to actually make it come to pass out here with you. They're going to keep working with you until you say, yes, do it, Lord. I want to be in Your presence. I want to live my life out based on what's in me and not out here. Based on the fruit of the Spirit that's in me, not the work of the flesh. I want You to help me. But it's their job to make those things come to
and
pass.
If we mess up, we can repent.
We can repent. Jesus keeps working with you.
Cleansing.
Verse 23 says, continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon. You know, we just have the foundation of Him to grow on.
We're
God doesn't
starting.
Expect us to be perfect. In fact, it says, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you've believed in. Here's what keeps striking me, Mom.
What?
I keep hearing this word humanity. We get so frustrated with our own humanity, with someone else's humanity, or we get angry when somebody disappoints us. We feel like we've disappointed God. You get so hung up on your humanity as being the problem when you focus out here. But I want you to know, or even when people think, my humanity is messing me up. You know, Jesus is the answer to our humanity. But the fact of the matter is that it's our humanity that God loves. It's our humanity. Even I think even if you may have been partners with us for a long time, you've heard the word, you've changed your life, you're a giver, you walk in the fruit of the Spirit and all this, but you feel like, oh no, I messed up. I'm imperfect. Durr.
Everybody messed up.
It's okay.
But we got straight.
Well, of course, but he's working in us.
Got our forgiveness.
To get us straight.
Yeah.
But don't be so upset about your humanity. If you get upset about it, or you get upset about somebody else's being human and messing up and they may be really messing you up for real. I'm
forgive
not saying that.
Forgive if you have against any.
But when you focus on Jesus and you get your instructions from Him and you get your peace from Him and you get your joy from Him, you get your wisdom, your life from Him, He's going to fix those things that are messed up. But that's the reason He came. And our humanity is what God loved about us. He made us human. Our humanity is what required Jesus to come in human form. Hebrews is filled with, He is our perfect leader because He was a human. His humanity went before us and paid the price for us to be more than human, for us to have God Himself inside of us. That makes us more than human. We're not just human. Yes, we're human. Yes, we have humanity. Yes, we can mess up. But we have God Himself inside us. We should not so focused and so caught up in the struggle of our mistakes or shame or let Satan beat us up or talk to us. When you mess up, man, the last thing you want to do is let Satan talk to you about it. Go to God. Because this is what struck me, Mom, last night. I wrote it here. I should just read it. I wrote it in here in this book. God loves us for our humanity. After all, you know what? He did not pay a high price for the 1/3 of the angels that fell with Satan.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
He paid no price to have them back. He did not look to have that angelic being back. I mean, we think about God wants me to be angelic. No, He wants you to be human. That's why He created you that way. And it's why He sent God Himself in the form of Jesus to buy us back. Man, that just stuns me when I think about all the stuff I've tried to focus on as being the problem instead of focusing on Jesus as being the answer.
Praise God.
And then He goes on, we read this yesterday, this divine mystery of Christ revealed in us, living on the inside of us, the very nature of God. He even says that chapter 2, verse 2 says, Christ unveiled within you. That's the mystery. He says, verse 6, in the same way you received Jesus, our Lord and Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith. You know, we received Him in faith. He is the one who's developing and instigating and birthing our faith. He put the faith in you in the first place to ask Him into your heart. You didn't even have to do that on your own. Continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with Him. Once you get born again, keep going. This is for page 92, Mom.
I'm not going far enough. Okay, I see it.
Continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with Him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into His life as you continually are infused with strength and encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to Him. So when you are devoted to Him and you are, that's a moment you can decide to be that quickly. I'm devoting my life to you, Jesus. I'm going to turn to you. I'm going to look in your word. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to pray. And it's not about those things as being habits. It's about your life living with Him and being increased. Because listen to this. This is what He came to do. Verse 9. For He is the, and this is the truth, He is the full and complete expression of deity. All of God.
The Godhead.
The fullness of God living in human form. You want to talk about humanity? He is humanity filled with God. But guess what? You and I, if you've asked Him into your heart, if you haven't, you're going to get to today. And I believe you will. We are God. We are humanity filled with God.
And the awesome thing is He never turns anybody down.
No.
I mean, you know, I've spoken to the people on death row and in Texas prisons, and they've killed people, some of them multiple people. But they came to God, they got forgiveness, and they're new creatures in Christ Jesus. They didn't get out of death row, but now they're new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Ultimately.
And when they go from this body, some of them have been executed even, they went right into His arms.
Man, what
glory
a
to
change.
God. Precious people, precious people.
And verse 10 says, our own completeness is now found in Him. We are not lacking anything because we are completely filled, it says, with God.
Amen.
Completely filled with God. Look at what it says here, Mom. As Christ's fullness overflows within us. What is that? That's what we've been talking. What happens when Christ's fullness overflows within us? Fruit, produce, production of His Spirit, production of the blessing, production of the things that we need.
Amen.
Through our union with Him, we have experienced a circumcision of our heart, a dedication of our heart. Now all of the guilt and power of sin in the flesh has been cut away and removed from us.
Somebody might say, well, you don't know what I did. It doesn't matter what you did.
No, it doesn't.
Jesus paid the price for you to have a makeover. It's called being born over again, born again. A new creature, a new spirit put in you. So if you've been living a lifestyle that's opposite that even, you can just make Jesus the Lord of your life and you'll be born over. You'll be a new, what the Bible calls a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things passed away. All things became new. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that marvelous, Kelly?
Yes. And you don't have to clean up first.
Mm-mm.
How are you going to clean up before you come to Him? You can't. He's going to work those things out in your life and bless you and teach you and lead
That's
you.
Right.
But today, in this moment, don't even worry about that. Don't even think about that. That's not even any of your business right now. Because it says all the guilt and
Trust
power of
God.
Sin has been cut away and removed from us. And it wasn't because of something good we've done.
Yeah.
So to try to do something good to get that to happen or to do something good to please God, you're missing the point or you're missing the thing that pleases God. The thing that pleases God is Christ in you.
Hallelujah.
It's the very thing that He set out to do is to be in you. And so it's not because of something good we've done. It's not because it's not in spite of. It's not held
doing.
Off because of something bad we've done. It says it's because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished or has done for us.
That's
it's
right.
not a flesh work. It's a fruit of the Spirit work. It's a Him inside of us work. And I'll read this. I'll just keep reading until we run out of time. On the next page, Mom, page 94.
That.
Isn't
yeah.
that good? Verse 19 says, we receive directly from Him, and His life supplies vitality to every part of His body. When you ask Him into your heart, you're a part of His body. He's supplying a vitality and life to every part of His body through the joining ligaments that connecting us all as one. He is the divine head who guides His body and causes, this is His job. And He does it well, causes it to grow by the supernatural power of God. And He can do this. You think, well, that hadn't been happening in my life. All you have to do is yield to it. You don't have to make all these things happen. But in our life with Him, we yield to it. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, Christ's resurrection from the dead is your resurrection too. That belongs to you. That's our oneness with Him. He says, it says feast, or you set your eyes on, look at the treasures of the heavenly realm, fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm.
Kelly, I'm still thinking about the girls that I met on death row. Sweet girls. They'd all been born again. Most of them filled with the Spirit. It seemed like at that time there was 5 or 6. Now listen to what this says with that in mind. And through the divine authority of His cross, He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood against us.
Ooh.
He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul, and our shameful failure to keep His laws. He deleted it all. Hallelujah. And they cannot be retrieved.
Oh, Mom. That's
Isn't that
so
awesome?
Good.
Glory to God. I don't care what you've done. Jesus paid the price for it. And you make Jesus the Lord of your life. And the Bible says you become a new creation.
Mm.
And those old things have passed away. And all things become new.
That's
So if you've got things in your life you thought you could never get rid of, you were wrong. You just received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You'll be born over again in His likeness. Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? I love it, Mom.
I think it's such a good word.
It says it changes your DNA of Adam is erased and the DNA in Christ has been embedded.
And I think the experience of ministering to the girls on death row just totally just helped me to see the greatness of the new birth. Now, we've all been guilty, but we haven't all murdered people. But that would be probably the worst thing you could think of.
Yeah.
But they became new creatures in Christ Jesus. They started having prayer meetings in prison, Bible studies. Kelly and I are glad you're here today. We're going to have some good words, so don't go away. What are you going to start with, Kelly?
Well, you know, yesterday we were talking about, we just got really focused on Jesus, our Savior, and the high price He bought to see some fruit.
Yeah.
The high price He bought to be able to have us be containers of Him. Mm. There was just a few scriptures I wanted to, like, just bring up to you. Because, Mom, these things that we want to do, we want to have the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, but we get too focused on making that our job. The fruit of the Spirit is not our job to produce. The fruit of the Spirit is our job to choose, or our job to walk so much in what Jesus is in us that that's what's come out. So we really cultivate our life with Him, and that's the fruit of it. And so I just want to read a couple of scriptures just to bring that home to us about whose job this really is to perfect us so that we can get in it with Him. You know, we have to get in this with Jesus and allow Him to be big in us. So I just want to just read a couple of those. It says in Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. And actually that in that actual chapter talks about, you know, don't do this, do this, do this, do this. And it's got a lot of things that we need to be seeing in our lives. But he also says, the Holy Spirit has sealed you in Jesus. And as these things come about in your life, we are protected and held in Jesus as we grow in our faith, as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, as we grow in the produce of what His Spirit inside of us is doing in our lives. But, you know, that's where he says, be passionate, but don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you. Don't let it be or fuel for revenge. Don't be don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Guard your speech. Don't let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. Well, you may think, well, man, ugly and hateful words came from my mouth this morning. Well, I understand. I've had ugly and hateful words come out of my mouth. But you know what? As we focus on Him inside, you find that the fruit of that is less ugly words coming from your mouth. And thank God He holds us in Jesus and protects us and helps us every day as we're growing in these things, because it is a growth process. It's not a sudden thing that all of a sudden you're supposed to be perfect. It's a growth process. And it's in our oneness with Jesus that we actually grow. And as we set our sights on Him and set our attention on Him, lo and behold, we become like Him. In the Word, it talks about, you know, that we are changed into His image. As we look on Him and as the veil is removed, we turn to Him. So anyway, it says here in Philippians 3, and I'm going to move through these quickly, and we've read this one over and over, but it's just important to read. In Philippians 3 and verse 21, it says, by His matchless power, not your matchless power, He continually subdues all that is within us to Himself. And of course, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit as a result. And it says, you know, if you fulfill, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the answer to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is not to try to beat down your flesh with your flesh.
Yeah.
That doesn't even really work. It says, just walk in the Spirit. Walk in what's inside you, and you won't be fulfilling or satisfying or living in the lust of your flesh or the works of the flesh. Yesterday, it was so wonderful. If you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, man, send them yesterday's broadcast, because I think Jesus really showed up with His presence and His sweetness and His glory and how much He loves us. So, really, John 15 is a proof of His desire for us. Now, I want to set this up a little bit, Mom, in John 15. You need to realize that in the book of John, I love the book of John because it's so filled with red words. It's so filled with what He has to say. A couple of weeks ago, I was dealing with something that was bothering me. It wasn't a huge thing, but it was just bothering me. It was like just nagging me. And I was frustrated by it, and I had to go speak the next day so early. So I was like, I need to study. And I'd studied, but I really am like, but I'm bothered by this thing, and Lord, I need Your help with this thing. And you know what He said? He goes, get at My feet. And we talked about Mary getting at the feet of Jesus. And you think, well, how can I get at His feet? He's not here. Yes, He is. He's right here. But He just said that to me, get at My feet. And I had this thought, it's time for bed. And so instead of struggling with, you know, I got to study more, I got to do this more, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow, He said, get at My feet. Because see, I'm trying to be Martha, and I'm trying to serve out of my doing. But my heart was anxious. One about, yes, you have to get in the Word when you preach, but my heart was anxious. And so He said, get at My feet. And I had this thought that I know was from Him. Play the book of John. Just go to bed, play the book of John on my phone. I got my phone, put on the Bible app, and just let the words play. Mom, He talked to me all night long. He visited me all night long. And I went to bed. It was kind of late, and I had to get up really early. I woke up so fresh all night. And once I woke up enough to type something He said. I actually said that then at the message that I had to minister. But all night long, I would wake up, just not wake up totally, but I'd wake up enough to go, oh, that's so good. I don't even remember in my mind everything He said to me.
Yeah.
But as the Word was reading, it wasn't just what the Word was saying. He was talking to me. He was giving me life. I woke up free, non-worried, non-caring. And to this day, I don't care about that thing I was so stressed about.
Praise God.
It's just gone. The care of it, the concern about who's doing what. I don't know, Mom. It's hard to describe what that night was like.
You rolled the care during the night.
But He took it. Like, I just said, okay, I'm going to get at Your feet. And He just spoke to me literally all night long. And I didn't wake up tired. I woke up great and refreshed. There was a powerful word in that service I had to do. Anyway, and it's continued to speak to me. So I've done it since, just go to bed at night. But I'm not putting the book of John or whatever you put on. I'm not doing it to read the Bible. I've done that. Not that that's wrong, but I've done that with a heart to sit at the feet of His Word. So beginning to picture these words that are spoken in this Bible, this, my goodness, what a precious thing we have here. These are His words to me. This is His feeding me. This is me sitting at His feet. You can read the Word as a Martha. You can read the Word as a Mary. And as we read this Word as a Mary to sit at His feet, then we gain that thing He told Martha, that Mary was after, that one thing that she, that one thing that was to her advantage, the Amplified said, and it wouldn't be taken away from her.
Praise God.
And I don't know, it was such a powerful thing. Well, this to me describes, this is where we're going to go in John 15, really describes really what we've been talking about. So I'm reading again out of the Passion Translation, and it's really good in the New Living. It's something we've heard, but I think within all of these things that we've been talking about, letting the fruit of the Spirit come out by your oneness with Him, I think it'll mean something deeper. So John 15, verse 1. I don't think you have this, the book of John one. It's orange when you get home. You have it at home.
Okay.
I was setting this up for you before I read that. So here Jesus is with His disciples. They're about to walk into the hardest time that they've walked in with Him so far, where He's preparing them for what they're about to walk through. He's preparing them for His physical presence to not be there anymore. I mean, they've gotten used to walking with His physical presence. Mm-hmm. So imagine, especially Peter, I mean, Jesus was all about correcting Peter. Peter got corrected a lot, often and publicly. But you know what? The result in Peter, and maybe we can talk about this some later, Jesus did with Peter very visibly in the Word what I'm talking about you to you, that communing and being one in His presence, He will do that with you. And maybe you're like, I don't know if I want Jesus to say, get behind me, Satan. But you do want Jesus to correct you. You do want Him to lead you and help you and correct the things that you need to adjust. You know, many times we might prefer the word adjustment. That's fine. Jesus, adjust me. You go to a chiropractor for Him to adjust your back. Jesus, adjust me. Get things in line. And that's what correction is. Well, He's preparing His disciples. And so for chapters here, starting with John 14, 13 really, 14, 15, 16, 17, He's preparing them for what's coming. And it's going to be a change, but He's telling them, this is going to be a good change. You're going to like it. And you know, I love too, Mom, that He continually told them, I'm not abandoning you. You know, many Christians and in many ways, all Christians to a degree have lived their life as though He had abandoned them. Because when a bad word comes, or you have a sickness, or somebody, you know, gets a diagnosis of cancer, or a marriage falls apart, or some of these things, and people feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Or there's something wrong in your family, your kids. Oh, what am I going to do? And you know God will help you, you know to get on the Word, but you still feel that. That's devastating. That's a feeling of being abandoned. But He hadn't abandoned us. Mm-hmm. But He told them,
I'll never leave you or forsake you.
And over, and He said, I'm not leaving you. I'm sending a comforter. I'm not leaving you. I'm sending. Now, this is a new deal. You have to remember, you can't judge Peter or some of these people too harshly, Mary or Martha. They didn't have Jesus on the inside. They had Him right here on the outside. And they like that. But Jesus is telling them, this is going to be so much greater for you. It's not me here on the outside with you. It's going to be me here on the inside with you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everything that I've done for you, this Holy Spirit is going to do for you. I heard somebody say this, and it's true. Everything you look through here and you saw Jesus do for His disciples, heal, explain, expound, correct, all those things, direct, give direction, tell them where to go find your tax money, all of that, the Holy Spirit does for us on the inside. Amen. So Jesus, in these chapters, He says, Jesus took from the Father and He gave it to them. But He says, I'm going to receive from the Father and give it to the Holy Spirit that's going to give it to you. So the Holy Spirit is speaking these things to us that are coming from God. And it's in that vital union through the Holy Spirit. We have vital union with Jesus, our Savior, who's speaking to us. So let's look now at John 15, because remember what he's telling his disciples. They're going to be doing life in a different kind of way, and he's redirecting them. And in this instruction, he's redirecting them. It's the very way that we have to live, because we live in this day like the disciples did, through the union with Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is what he was talking to them about. So John 15:1 says, I am like a sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless. Listen to this, Mom. This is in the Passion Translation. The Greek phrase can also be translated, he takes up. You know, people think about the fruitless are just going to be cut off. And you could read this way, but listen to this. He doesn't want to cut you off. If you remove yourself, then you're removed. That's being cut off. He didn't cut you off. When you're fruitless, this is what he does for you. And if you allow it to happen, this will correct your fruitless life. The Greek phrase can also be translated, he takes up to himself every fruitless branch. So where it says here, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, this is the way it could be translated. He takes up to himself every fruitless branch. He doesn't remove these branches, but takes them to himself. As the wise and loving farmer, he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth. Right. You know, there's a lot of times in our life we feel like we hit the ground.
Yeah.
We fell down. In our minds, we might feel like we're fruitless, so I'm getting cut off from God. No, you're the only one that can cut you off from God. The Word says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that He will not leave us. But He said, He knew they were going to fall. He knew they were going to have difficulties in these coming days. So He's like, you know, no matter what has happened in your life, or what Satan's thrown at you, or somebody else has done in your life, or what you've messed up your life on your own, there's not anything that He has not pre-planned the answer for.
Or that He hadn't seen before.
And He hadn't seen it before, and He wasn't tempted like as we were, Hebrews says. That's why He's our perfect leader. Okay, so I got to hurry. So it says, these branches that falls to the ground. Have you ever seen a tree, like your peach trees we talked about this week with your grandfather's peach trees? Mm-hmm. Those branches could get so
heavy
mm-hmm. that they fell to the ground. And if left there, you know, the fruit would die touching the ground. Mm-hmm. But you could prop those up. And this is what he does. He brings these up to himself to enhance their growth. In context, Christ's endless love for his disciples on the last night of his life on earth seems to emphasize God's love even for those who fail. Isn't that good? Yeah. Those who think they've disappointed
him. They know not what they do.
His concern was for them. Peter's denial didn't bring rejection from Jesus. Jesus didn't reject Peter after his denial. He told him it was going to happen. He said, Peter,
deny me.
He even said when it was time to, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, Peter, he said, guys, watch and pray with me. Mm-hmm. And he said, Peter, if you'll watch and pray, the Amplified says, you won't even enter into temptation. Boy, he's trying to help him. He's trying to save him. How many times does the Lord come to us in our relationship with him? Mm-hmm. He's working to subdue everything in us to himself. He's working for that fruit to come out of our lives. He was working with Peter. Get thee behind me. You don't have your mind on what is on God's mind. He's correcting them. He's talking to them. He's working with them.
Praying for
He's not mad at them. But the day Peter denied Jesus, many people may not realize this. You have to read all four Gospels to get the full story on what happened when he denied Jesus. But in that, Peter, he denied him three times. Jesus said he would. And then it says, Jesus looked at him. But you know what he saw when Jesus looked at him?
Compassion.
Compassion and love, the fruit. Well, Peter ran out from that. That was a tough place. He ran out from that place. But where did he go after that? After he was filled with the Holy Ghost, his whole life took on all the things that Jesus had tried to lead him to. Jesus is going to keep working with you until you get it.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay. Hurry, Kelly. Okay, so he cares for the branches and by propping up branches are fruitless. Pruning, or that can mean cleansing, it says, every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you. Remember, we're talking about our union with him. So enter into life union with me, for I have entered into life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately.
Yes.
Intimately joined with mine.
Connected.
I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. It's not an effort. It's going to come out of you. But when you live separated from me, you're powerless. If you live separated from me, you'll be discarded like shriveled up branches that are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you step into my life in union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, and Mom, in this footnote, it says this Greek is the Greek word rhema, which refers to the spoken word. So I'm going to put this out to you that he's saying when we live in union with him, those words are spoken from him. That life is coming directly
Praise
on the
God.
Inside from him to you. And those words, when you are in union with him and communion, those words are so much more powerfully spoken to you than even reading them here. I mean, you read them here and they're powerful coming out of you. Then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. Let my love nourish your hearts. Why would we not spend our time in union and communion with Him?
Amen.
That's where the fruit
comes
from.
I like that, Kelly. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Kelly's here. We're going to just talk the Word of God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And you join in with us. Welcome, Kelly.
I'm really appreciative that you allowed me to come and you allowed me to pick our topic. And I allowed the Lord to pick our topic and really talking about oneness with Jesus. This
yes,
is a new
amen.
Place that I've found in a deeper way with Jesus
Praise
in the
God.
Last couple of years in my life. But it's equaled more fruit in my life. And he pointed that out to me. And you are such a developed in the fruit of the Spirit. And you've taught it a lot. But I've never thought about the whole thing as my oneness with Jesus, my developing my life with him is what really equals the fruit coming out.
That's true.
It's not a struggle to do the fruit as a work of the flesh, but many times I've done that, trying to walk in love, trying to forgive, trying to be patient, and trying, you know, with your kids, you're like, I'm trying to be patient with y'all, but, you know, we've all been there. But if we will slip back into our relationship with Him and walk in the fruit of the Spirit as a work of the Spirit, then we're focusing on Him. And what a beautiful union. What a beautiful place it is to be like sitting at the table with Him and Him talking to you about your life. Meeting with Him and Him correcting you. Revelation 3 is all about that. It's not spooky or scary about the last days. Jesus said, I love this about you, but we need to talk about this and you need to change it. Well, guess what time it is? It's the last days.
Yeah,
and so he's talking to us right now about a lot of things that need to change. And Mom, there's a lot of people going through a lot of things right now, more than maybe in the past, like people who know the Word, people who walk in the Word, pastors. I get phone call after phone call. We're having this going on in our life. We're having trouble in our marriage. We're having trouble with, we feel burned out. We're just, and they're in a place, I'm like, Don't worry about it. It's just because the grace to stay like you were is gone now. We used to get away with more than we're going to get away with today.
Well, the more you grow, the more you have to shape up.
That's true. But also it's time. Jesus is saying, okay, guys, get it cleaned up because we got things to do. And so when you realize that, that all of this cleansing you're going through and all of this stuff you're going through is just because God's not letting you stay the same anymore.
You're growing.
You're going to grow more than you ever have. We're like that dog that gets bathed every Saturday night and he doesn't know why and he doesn't like it. And it's awful.
I don't need this.
But then he gets to sit on the couch on Sunday morning, right?
Well, Kelly, so, that's a good example.
I thought so, too. But this is what happened is sitting with him and allowing him to talk to us about our life. It's the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to me in my life. So yesterday we read in John 15, but today, and really let me pull out a couple of things just so you can think about them as we move on. He talks about... He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the branches that are fruitless and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. Well, he's cleansing, that word pruning, cleansing every branch to yield a better harvest. But I love this because the author of the Passion Translation says he takes in, where it says, I think the New Living says he cuts off that branch that doesn't produce fruit. This says it's better translated, he takes up to himself every fruitless branch. That's what he wants to do with us. He's not trying to get rid of us because we're messed up. It's our humanity that he loves about us. But he wants to scoop you up, take them to himself. As a loving farmer, he lifts them up off the ground to enhance their growth.
Amen.
When you fall, he's there and he's expressing to his disciples. And think about Peter, who failed over and over again and is about to fail big time, too. He's expressing to him his love for even when you fail or even when you fall. He says, your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined in mine. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. So, Mom, right now we have a testimony that I want to play. It's going to be a perfect example of how God, when you direct your attention to God in a hard time, this couple, they were powerless to do something about their problems. But you'll see in this what happens when you direct your attention to the Lord and let Him talk to you. The result is fruit. So watch this.
I grew up in a place called South Baton Rouge in Louisiana. And I was a pretty good basketball player back then. So I got a scholarship to go to Southern University. And at that time, I was drafted to the New York Knicks. And so, unfortunately, it didn't pan out, but I always felt like God had His hand on me, even though I wasn't saved. So when I got back, I gave my life to Christ. I went to Rhema Bible College. I graduated in 1988. I had a little bit of word up under me, direction. The Holy Spirit was able to lead and guide me. And so I was called to preach in Lafayette, Louisiana, and that's where I met my lovely wife.
Then a year later, we were married. However, we found out that we weren't prepared for marriage. And it's a lot of things that we didn't know. Even though we are committed Christians, serving God, attending church, tithing, and submitted to our pastor. But marriage was quite a challenge for Greg and I. But it was through these challenges that God began to speak to my husband.
The way that it transpired, this particular day, my wife was cooking, but we had a tremendous argument. And so I said, well, I'm just going to go and sit down and just kind of chill out. And to my surprise, right in the middle of the argument, the Lord spoke to me. And He said, I'm not pleased with marriages in the body of Christ. And I was amazed because I'm going, well, Lord, I'm trying to get things right here, and you're talking about the body of Christ. But He didn't pay any attention to it, and He made a second statement. He said, my people have taken the covenant and made it common. He said, I'm going to teach you how to diffuse. this element of arguments. I said, okay, Lord, and it was very simple. He said, call your wife in here. And I did, and she came in, but she had a defensive pose. And I knew right then, well, here goes another argument. And he said, confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. So I began telling her some of the things where I was falling short, where I needed to do better, what the Word said that I needed to do. And I began to see the defensive pose and the arms come down, because now her spirit was open to hear. She could receive better. And it was through that process that healing came, communication was better, all the other avenues of relationship began to open up. But it was a process.
It was very challenging, just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And instead of obeying what my flesh wanted to do, which was leave, quit, you know, go back to my parents' home, and the Holy Spirit would say, no, stay. And then he started to speak to me. He said, you can't forget about, you know, the laws of faith. He said, you still have to incorporate them in your marriage.
Yes.
And then after that, then God led us to partner with the Copelands KCM. And then I started listening to Sister Gloria Faithfully.
Yes. We know that we're called to this ministry for this time. So we figured out and said, we're staying together because God put us together. And we will work out the logistics based on the Word.
Greg and Mandy Green are committed KCM partners and make it a priority to attend the conventions as a family. They consider Kenneth and Gloria Copeland to be their spiritual mentors in life and ministry. For the past 12 years, the Lord has developed and blessed Dominion Covenant Marriage Ministry as the Greens travel and teach in churches and conferences around the nation.
We teach a lot on the covenant, and once people get that revelation beyond where they are, then we're seeing a lot of fruit of families staying together, making that quality commitment to remain together and fulfill the assignment. It's not just about being married, staying married, just to be happy. God has attached an assignment to that relationship, that all the families of the earth be blessed.
Wasn't that good? And a perfect example of how meeting with Jesus, he gave him an answer that quick.
Yeah.
And it's, we don't have a ton of time left today, but I want to take just a few examples and show you how that happened in the Word. It happened in his walk with people, with his disciples, with Peter. It happened even with the letters that were written by Paul and Peter to people had that same effect on people they were ministering to. Mm. I love it, too, that, you know, in the testimony you just saw, what happened in them resulted in great harvest in other people's marriages, in other people's lives. And it's just the beginning for them.
Praise
Anytime God. We are ministered to, we get healed, we get helped, we get help in our soul, it overflows into righteousness for other people. And
Amen.
That's God's plan. That's what Jesus did. Once it happened to his disciples, that's what they did. That's what we're called to do. We're called to allow him to, you know, I love it when Peter denied Jesus, but then when Jesus appeared to them, you know, several times after he was resurrected, one of these times he said, let's eat breakfast. He fixes them fish, you know, he fixes them breakfast, and they're eating together. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And of course, Peter got to answer yes. I mean, before the cross, Peter's like, Jesus, I'll die with you. Well, those were sort of empty words, we found out, because he wouldn't even acknowledge him verbally, and he denied him. But in this moment, Jesus gave him three opportunities to answer face to face and say, Jesus, I love you. And he denied him three times. He gave him three times to tell him he loved him. He thinks to the nth degree of detail what we need, about what we need to go forward. And the thing Jesus told him is, then feed my sheep. And he did. Peter did. And Peter, if you look at Peter's big challenge, was leaning on the arm of the flesh, always looking at the natural. And what was the big thing he said? Don't lean on the arm of your flesh. I mean, when he says that to us, there's no judgment in it. He's already walked that road. And Jesus has given him a word to be able to feed what was fed to him.
Praise God.
To the sheep.
Amen.
So, Mom, here's an example I found. I really hadn't even understood that this was an example of these things. In Philippians 4, till the Lord pointed it out to me. We're going to read Philippians 4:1. And this is on page 80 of the Passion Translation.
Yeah.
My dear and precious friends, whom I deeply love, you have truly become my glorious joy and crown of reward. Now arise in the fullness of your union with our Lord. These are Paul's letters. Arise, that's what we're calling on you today. It's what Jesus is calling you. Arise in the fullness of your union with the Lord. And I plead... I may not be saying these right. I plead with Euodius and Syntyche to settle their disagreement. Okay, he's writing in this letter to these two women to settle their arguments. Brian Simmons, who wrote this Passion Translator, did the translating here. He says, Paul seeks to encourage these two dear women to resolve their disagreements. Their names give us a clue. Euodius comes from a word that means a fair journey. Syntyche comes from a word that can mean an accident. So these two women have collided.
Well,
you know what? That happens. And it happens many times because we're different. I see things differently than you do. Well, that gives us more of a whole picture. But if we don't appreciate the other, if we don't see the fruit in the other, if we don't see Jesus in the other, then it puts us at odds instead of puts us ahead. You put me ahead when you give me your perspective. So these two women are having a disagreement, but this is the answer to that. I plead with them to settle their disagreement and be restored with one mind in the Lord. Because when you and I, which we haven't really had falling outs.
No.
You and I, don't even remember one. But, I mean, you probably fell out with me
when
I was a kid.
You're
like,
little.
Stop that. Yeah. But you were always in love with us and me and directing me in love. You always had the fruit of the Spirit working in your life as
Praise
a mother.
God.
But he says, be restored. The key is to be restored in one mind in the Lord. That means one mind in the Lord, mother, does not mean you agree with me. One mind in the Lord is you agree with the Lord and I agree with the Lord. And probably you were part right
we
and I
agree
was
with
part
the
right.
Word. That's right.
And when we come in together with union with the Lord, then we can agree with him. And he even calls on my dear friend I don't know, to help resolve the issue. This says he was one. It's believed that he was one of the pastors of the church at Philippi. And
what
his
verse,
name.
Where are you?
Oh, I'm in verse 3. His name means burden bearer. So there are times when we're called on to help somebody else come together in the mind of the Lord, to be in unity and keep our lives in unity.
Yeah, walk in love.
So he goes on, I believe, to give some help to these two women and to this pastor that's going to help them. He gives us some clues that help us have that process of coming into one mind with the Lord. He says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One.
Oh, hallelujah.
Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. To me, that expresses the very thing we've talked about the last 2 weeks.
Amen.
Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Don't get off into the work of the flesh.
But
worry is a work of the flesh.
Saturated.
Here's our process. Don't be pulled off. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. commune with the Lord in prayer, back and forth, that's both directions conversation. Offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Mm-hmm. Tell Him good. Every detail of your life. You know where things hurt? Don't not talk about them to the Lord. Take them to Him. Talk to Him. Yeah. I'd rather be wrong in what I say to the Lord than not talk to Him at all. Because if I come to Him and I'm even wrong, that's so much better than not going to Him.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to fix you when you're
wrong.
He can
correct you.
Yes. So don't worry about being wrong before Him. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ Jesus, just like our testimony we just saw. He made the answers known as they came to Him. As He came to Him to get some answers, the answers get known.
That's right.
So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable and beautiful and respectful,
praise
pure
God.
And holy, mm-hmm. merciful and kind. Fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Follow the example of all we've imparted to you, and the God of peace will be with
praise
you in
God.
All things. What's He saying? You will have fruit. You know, Luke 21 tells us
nothing
when you're
missing,
faced with persecution and trouble, Jesus says, I'll give you the right answers. I'll give you the right words to say, and they're not going to fail you. So you don't have to worry about those things. So there's these two women. There's an example of how sitting with Him, a communion with the Lord equals fruit. We have Peter. Jesus worked with him, and He worked with him, and he worked with him. And in the end, well, one of the things Jesus said to Peter when He told him He would deny Him, He said, when you're going to deny Me three times. But He said, but when you're changed, strengthen the brethren. It was similar to what He said when He said, feed My sheep, help your brothers. And of course, Peter did that. And the one who was the least bold about walking in faith became the most bold about speaking of Jesus and standing up for Him when he was filled with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who is Jesus speaking to us. The Holy Spirit is filling us up with His words, filling us up with His faith. Mom, let's go at this point. Let's go to Galatians and let's talk about, let's hit the fruit of the Spirit again. We've read this last week, but let's hit it again. Galatians 5. 13. Oh, here's a scripture we hadn't read. Verse 10 says, deep in my heart, I have faith that the Lord Jesus Christ who lives in you will bring you back around to the truth. You know what? I love that. Even when we miss it, He brings us back around to the truth. We don't know everything today. We know in part, but we're learning and we're growing. But in the places where we don't know the truth, if we just stay before Him, He's bringing us back into that union with the truth, like we talked about, and giving us one mind with Him. This is His continual process in us by the Holy Spirit. We read this week and last week, He's subduing everything on the inside to Himself. He's bringing it around, and He's very, very patient. Well, that same patience that He has is also in us to operate with each other.
The Amplified Bible says, I believe it's Amplified, says He's extraordinarily patient.
I have found that to be
so. Glory to God. Thank the Lord.
And what He's bringing us around to is not this life of perfection, but a life of freedom. He says in verse 13, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit, not in the natural realm, but in the Spirit, living out of our spirit. It says, as you yield freely and fully, verse 16, to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you'll abandon the cravings of your self-life. So to try to abandon the work of the flesh is fruitless. Yield to Him. Yield to His Spirit. Yield to the power and the life on the inside of you. It says, when you're brought into full freedom of the Spirit of grace, you'll no longer be living under the domination of the law. So here's what it says. The fruit of the Spirit. produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. This love is revealed through love, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness on display, a life filled with virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart. And instead of self-control, here a moment, it says strength of spirit. It's the strength of our spirit that helps us not throw a fit. It helps us to control that cravings of ourself. It says, for everything connected with our self-life that was put to death on the cross and crucified with Christ. And we've chosen to live in the surrendered freedom of yielding to the Holy Spirit. Here's what the Lord gave me, Mom. For everything that comes up in our life, we have a Savior. For every feeling, for every hurt, for everything that we deal with, there's a Savior and there's a fruit. There's a Savior and there's a harvesting of our life with our Savior. So we're not stuck in our life with our own love, having to operate out of our feelings, the fruit of our feelings. This is what, I want to read this before we go. Because I believe He gave me this. This is the fruit of the Spirit expressed for me. I can love when I'm hurt.
Yeah.
I lift my head when I cry. I can have quiet in the chaos. I can keep going when it's hard. I can be mindful of others beyond myself. I can do good for others in spite of my own situation. I can borrow His faithfulness when I want to turn back. I can forget. I don't have to borrow, actually. It belongs to me. I can forgive when offended, follow Jesus no matter what happens. I have true freedom to live life full
Praise
of Him.
God.
So we no longer struggle against His Spirit who's working in us, pride by pride and shame. But we live out of this new nature, this explosive nature of Him that comes out by our oneness with Him.
Praise God. That's good, Kelly. I like that. Oh, we're just about out of time.
I think we're out.
Take it.
Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The fruit of the Spirit is an active force that comes from oneness with God. Walking in this fruit is not dependent on your feelings. When you choose Jesus, yield freely, and abandon self-life, you make the fruit of the Spirit your natural way of living. Let the Oneness with Jesus package open your eyes to a new way of living, free from fear. Included are 2 weeks of Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts with Gloria and Kelly Copeland on living a life free from fear and choosing faith over fear, and a 4-CD set by Gloria titled Fruit of the Spirit, The Foundation. Take the struggle out of being godly and learn to yield to God, with Him as your producer of fruit. Instead of you trying to achieve true godliness by your own effort, you can expect to live in health, life, and freedom. Now is the time to pursue oneness with love Himself, Jesus.
Live every day in the security of God's love for you. Request your free Oneness with Jesus package and discover the unbreakable connection you have with Jesus. Visit our website, kcm.org/TV special, or call toll-free 800-600-7395 and ask for the Oneness with Jesus package. It's yours free from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Offer good for 60 days.
Love is the fruit of the reborn spirit. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. To do that, just pray with us. Just say, Jesus, I receive You. I take You as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it. That's what I said to the Lord. I didn't know very much about the Word at all, but I had found out you could be born again. When I prayed that prayer, take my life and do something with it, He took my life and did something with it. He'll do the same for you. He's no respecter of persons. You will be a new creation when you get born over again. Old things pass away and all things become new. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. To help you understand more about your new nature, we have a salvation package to give you. Kelly, tell them what we've got.
You know, Mom, it's so simple to ask Jesus into your heart. They may not even realize that they just did that. You said, say this. take my life, do
all
something with it.
All you have to do
it.
Is just it's make so yourself simple. Available, and He'll come in.
So if you said that, if you prayed that, we want to send you something that'll let you know what you have now received on the inside. He did it for, all for you as a book. It tells you about who He is, who you are, what's inside you now. Brochures to help you read the New Testament and how to study the Bible. To request your free salvation package, just go to kcm.org. And we will send this right out to you. And really, we want to know. We want to count you among our brothers and sisters. We want to know that you asked Jesus into your heart.
Hallelujah.
So please let us know and let us send you this. It'll help you. It's free. You can feed your spirit every day.
Praise
beginning
God.
Right here, reading the Word.
Amen.
Watch the podcast. Read your Bible. To learn more about these things, to learn more about what God is in you and the Word of God, the things that we teach, go to our website, kcm.org. You know, find a good church that preaches the Word. That'll help you so much.
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. God's love and compassion still heals today, of course. We will be airing the Healing School service from our Branson Victory campaign. If you need healing in your body, be sure to watch this special. Learn to trust God's love for your healing. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.
All these things can culminate right now into this offering that we're about to receive, because today is offering day. And I want us to look at, if you have your Bible, I'm looking in the Passion at, what chapter is this? 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. It says, this truth is being unveiled by the revelation of the anointed Jesus, our life giver, who has dismantled death, obliterating all its effects on our lives, and manifested his immortal life in us by the gospel of grace. We can take this scripture and realize that poverty, maybe you've brought yourself into a place of debt or lack or poverty, or maybe you just have always been there. He's obliterated the effects of the curse, the effects of death in our life, and that includes this poverty. So when you take your offering today, you realize down here it says, my faith in Him convinces me He is more than able to keep all I've placed in His hands safe and secure. So give Him that. Put this in His hands. Put this tithe. Put this offering in His hands and say, Lord, I look to You to correct my situation. You've obliterated debt in my life. I receive it. And I look to You in the name of Jesus to bring me to a safe and secure place financially in the name of Jesus. And He will do it. Father, we receive this true in everybody's life. We receive the offering that they put before You. Bless them. Overtake them. Prove to them on their tithe that You will protect them and take care of them and rebuke the devourer for their sake.
Hallelujah.
And the windows of heaven poured out
in Jesus'
name. Next week is Healing School on the broadcast. Don't miss it. Mom, you always say, Jesus always comes to healing.
He always comes. Every time we've ever had one, people got healed.
Amen. Well, close us out one more time, Mom.
All right. This is Kelly and Gloria reminding you that
Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.